Hey, welcome back. I am Jody T. Pratt, and no, this is not the Scrapbook Podcast. This is just a little taste, a little bite, some would say a little snack, to hold you over until me and Patrick and I come back and give you guys what you've been asking for. More shenanigans, more fun, more stories off the top of the head, more us, some would say. But until then, these are four, count them, four of the 13 spine-tingly, look over your shoulder at night, spooky tales from Midnight Snacks to Dark Collection, narrated by Georgette Moses. Wonderful, wonderful narrator. And if you like what you hear, go on to Amazon. If you don't want to support Amazon, support me. Fuck Amazon. But support me, bro. As well as Audible. It is available on Audible right now. Midnight Snacks, the Dark Collection. Like I said, the links will be in the show notes. You can pick up When the Clouds Darken, which is paperback on paperback right now. Available on Amazon. Soon, you'll get the audiobook of that. Right now, I'm writing. Right now, we're trying to get it together. We're trying to chase these dreams. You know what I mean? My personal dream, becoming a writer. Tough shit, tough shit. You know that. A nigga making a YouTube. It's a bunch of stuff. I'm too old for this shit. On some Danny Glover shit. But anyway, we love you. Don't stop being creative. Peace. And here we go.
Assorted popsicles. The clattering sound of the morning school bell reminded all that it was on the last day of school at Donner Elementary. Miss LaRue slid the last of what will be labeled gourmet roast beef into the second oven, setting all three kitchen timers for precisely 1 hour and 20 minutes, leaving enough time for cooling and cutting, according to her tried and semi-authentic recipe. Miss LaRue takes her time prepping the slightly frozen hoagie rolls by delivering a well-placed cut down the side and a quick steam in the oven's proofer, a little trick she picked up being in this line of work for so long. Cafeteria worker or lunch lady, she didn't care which label she wore, as long as you said her name correctly. Miss LaRue, pronounced La-Rue. With the timers set, she strolls to her hidden voyeur area, an upside-down 5-gallon bucket, waiting behind the set of shrubs in view of her favorite person, sixth grader Patrick Reynolds. Effectually, Miss LaRue would call Patrick Patty, unbeknownst to him. She would chain smoke cigarettes, usually going through 2 packs a day, and lick her lips, a habit that forced her to reapply her favorite burgundy lipstick ever so often. To a more considerable extent, when he would stretch before a foot race, she couldn't help but giggle when he would laugh out loud. She would even show concern when he would fall, or get hit in the head unexpectedly with a ball, cursing under her breath toward the perpetrator that would usually go unfound. Watching Patrick, Miss LaRue would suck her bottom lip to the point where she is left with a thick purple and black ring just under her lip for her lustfully nervous tick. When the bell rang signifying the end of recess, Miss LaRue would watch Patty line up for his sixth grade class with Mrs. Linner. As they walked in, disappearing from her line of sight, she put out her newly lit cigarette. Hastily retreating back to the kitchen of the cafeteria, where her uninteresting fellow lunch lady Rhonda was prepping the sides for tomorrow's district summer party while staging today's sides in the chafing dishes on the serving line. Miss LaRue straightened out her uniform before putting on her apron, finger curling a tuft of her hair, and putting on her hairnet and gloves. "Did I miss anything?" Miss LaRue says, assisting Rhonda in the rest of the mundane tasks to take her mind off Patty for a while, giving her lower lip a rest.
"I can't say that you did, girlie. You heard about that missing child in Roseville a few weeks ago?
Poor baby.
The family says they came to school to pick him up, and he was gone. One minute he was with his friends, and the next, poof. How could the teacher not know a baby is gone? Oh, God, girlie, act busy,"
Rhonda replies in an airy yet caring way, seeing the principal approach before he interjects in the way he made a habit of.
"Good afternoon, ladies. That was a wonderful breakfast this morning. I can't wait for lunch."
Rubbing his hands together and peering over to the empty, covered chafing pan serving line, in a show of anticipation and want, his tongue would glide over his upper lip.
"Things always taste better if you wait," Miss LaRue said, looking through the top of her eyes in the way dressed in innuendo.
"Well, well, well, I skipped dinner last night in excitement for some of what this group will be cooking up this afternoon. And believe me, I had all the opportunity to eat,"
the principal answers, with his hands on his hips and his feet separated, breathing deep into his nose and exhaling loudly.
"A growing boy needs to eat as much as he can, and he can't be picky."
Yes, a good boy also does what he's told."
"Promise?"
"I promise,"
the principal says in a baby voice.
"We have roast beef sandwiches with tater tots and boiled carrots and a..."
Rhonda interjects in a flirtatious brown-nosing tone towards the principal before being interrupted by him.
Very good, very good. Yes, Miss LaRue, may I speak with you for a moment in my office, please?"
the principal says, turning and walking out of the cafeteria. With an eye roll and a wink to Rhonda, who responded with a silent snarl, Miss LaRue takes off her apron and follows the principal down the empty Donner Elementary School hallway. She gets distracted, gawking through the small, vertical, rectangular-shaped window on Mrs. Leonard's classroom door. Staring at Patty, studiously filling in tiny bubbles on some sort of end-of-the-school-year test.
"Miss LaRue, may I speak with you briefly?"
the principal says, holding open the janitor's closet. Breaking her concentration, she catches the attention of Patty by her fleeting gaze. Patty waves in confusion and is given a wink by Miss LaRue in return. Patty slightly frowns and skips over the moment after he is reminded of the half-drawn sea monster he had been so busy creating before the interaction. Entering the janitor's closet, the principal jumps on Miss LaRue from behind. They kiss and grab on one another. In between kissing and gropes of her small, sharp breasts, the principal says,
Miss LaRue, you're doing well with the meal budget lately. That butcher shop cousin of yours, donating the meat to the school, has got the school board off my back. I owe him one."
"No, you owe me one,"
Miss LaRue replied, pulling up her uniform dress and pulling down her pantyhose, turning her back to him, gripping the cold metal shelves filled with cleaning products, and bracing herself. From then on, she closed her eyes, a common theme during their hidden interactions. At this time, Miss LaRue bit on her bottom lip as she pictures Patty's heat in her mouth, between her teeth, his taste, all of him sliding down her experienced throat in loving swallows. The principal could never bring her there, where she needs to be. Not when she could just think about Patty, then boom. Suddenly, her eyes rolled back.
showing the whites of her eyes as her knees lose strength and shook in waves. Yep, Patty gets her there every time.
Patty,
she would mouth as she bit down on her inner arm, between heavy breaths. And a slimy, gratifyingly thin-lipped grin, the principal would go on to say, shortly after almost beginning to spasm while stifling his own groan of completion.
My goodness, Miss LaRue, I must admit, you make this job worth it, if I say so myself. Oh, and if you wouldn't mind, I need a menu that serves 70 to 80 people for tomorrow's district summer bash.
I was under the assumption that it was going to be hosted by another school. It's just that we don't get our shipment until,
Miss LaRue would say, in light protest before being interrupted.
Well, it's us, whether you like it or not. So call up that cousin or brother of yours for a favor and get it handled. The superintendent has caught wind of your culinary prowess and wants to see what all the hype is about. I'm very high on you, I must say. I know this is your first year here, but if you want a second, get this done.
Please?
Stuffing his shirt into the loose-fitting slacks sagging around his waist, he tries to keep his air of authority. Looking at his watch, he situates himself quickly and leaves the room, but not before slapping Miss LaRue's ass and giving her a lackluster smile in return.
I'll give him a call as soon as I'm back in the kitchen,
she replies as the door closes. Adjourning to the cafeteria kitchen, Miss LaRue writes, 90 pounds of ground chuck, on the chalkboard's list titled Needed. With a deep exhale, she explains to Rhonda,
You don't have to do this one. I got it. I'll have my brother deliver the meat after school, and I will prep everything for tomorrow after school lets out. If you say so, girlie, I ain't complaining if that means less work for me,
Rhonda says, chuckling, pouring the rest of the tater tots into the chafing pans. Before they knew it, it was time for lunch. The bell rang, and moments later, the cafeteria and hallway was filled with the nonsensical chatter and authoritative whistles blowing to stop roughhousing and the like. Miss LaRue loved every moment. So many, "Thank you, Miss LaRue's," rang out so many times she couldn't keep count. But none of that was important, not as crucial as Patty was to her. In her vision, Patty sat eating a sack lunch and laughing with a group of boys. In one bout of laughter, he would mistakenly knock his bag of grapes on the cafeteria floor, unaware. Having seen it, she eagerly called his attention to the bag of grapes, which he uses as ammo toward random people seated at the table. But getting his awareness again, she finger waves him over, coyly. Coming over in a playful gallop, he reported to her. She would walk around the counter and whisper to Patty,
Hey, you know that's a detention if I were anybody else, right?
I'm sorry, Miss LaRue, I didn't mean to, Patty says with his puppy dog eyes.
Don't worry, it's our little secret, okay? Oh, and call me Jew. I won't tell you again,
she replies with her pinky out. Patty hesitated before interlocking his pinky with hers, holding for a few seconds, locking eyes and slight smiles. She kisses her thumb to seal the pinky promise. He follows her lead and gives a little kiss to his thumb, but not without a crinkle in his brow.
Okay, Miss Jude. Would you like some popsicles for your long walk home today? I'll even give you some for your little table mates, too. It's gonna be pretty hot out there. I heard it's going to be the hottest day of the summer. Hell yeah, I would. Okay then, Mr. Potty Mouth. Meet me right here after school, and you can help me dig them out.
Oh, and here is a banana. They are way better than grapes anyhow. But only you can come back. You don't want me to get into trouble, do you? And leave it a surprise for the boys. Do we have a deal?
Deal?
Patty smiled big with excitement, already planning to keep certain flavors to himself. With a handshake and a reception of the banana on Patty's behalf, a promise was made, and so it was. After the final bell rang, the rest of the children fled from the halls, leaving them empty and echoing. But Patty was prompt in his arrival, as promised. The cafeteria and kitchen were dimly lit by the summer sun showing through the large cafeteria windows that looked out toward the open quad as the building's lights were turned off. The eerie buzz of refrigeration systems filled the silent spaces all around him. Thinking Miss LaRue forgot about the plan, he off-brand curses under his breath.
The popsicles are in the walk-in freezer, sweetheart. Can you hold the door open for me?
Miss LaRue says, in her coy way, from the deep, slightly darker rear of the kitchen, startling Patty, abandoning his sudden plans to leave.
Okay, can we make it quick? Tommy and Kenny are waiting at the bike racks for me, and they'll leave without me if I don't show up soon,
Patty asks, in a rushing and uneasy tone. An arm raised, protruding from the darkness, and begins beckoning him back into the lightless area towards the freezer. Miss LaRue would ask,
"So, what's your favorite flavor?"
"What flavors do you have?"
Patty replied politely, but really hoping they weren't the sugar-free bullshit his mother started buying recently.
"Any flavor you'd like, Patty,"
she said in a sing-song way. The butterflies in Patty's stomach raged in a mindless fury as he made his way towards the large, floating yellow, sharp-toothed grin, holding on to the handle of the sizable walk-in freezer. Opening the freezer, the light illuminates Miss LaRue's face, correcting his imagination. She stood there, curling the tuft of hair in front of her forehead, as she held the door open with her foot. Entering the brightly lit freezer, Miss LaRue moves to the back, slightly covered by a thin layer of mist, begins to shuffle through boxes, and insists on Patty joining her in the back to help her look. His impatience makes him walk into the freezer fully, previously hesitating at the entrance. His teeth instantly chatter.
"Come over here. I think they are under these boxes, sweetie. Oh, and leave your backpack just out there,"
she says, rubbing her back and neck as if they were sore. Dropping his backpack where he stood and entering the freezer, the door shut slowly behind him.
"Down here?"
Patty answered, bending over at the waist as he joined Miss LaRue.
"Yes, Patty, a little lower under there,"
she says, between sucking on her lower lip.
"Gotcha. I got the box, Miss LaRue. This dang thing was really stuck under there. Can I have them up?"
Patty began to say as he stood up, staring at the 50 count of assorted popsicles, but was interrupted by a durable strand of butcher twine around his throat and was swept up tightly against her breast. His feet began to swing and totter as they left the ice-spotted metal floor, his heels thudding against her shins. His fingers start to itch as the twine's pressure increasing around his neck, his eyes bloodshot and beginning to tear.
Daddy!
Patty spewed out of his purple-tinged lips as foam gathered through his gritted teeth. Miss LaRue grunts as she tries to keep her balance as Patty thrashes about. Heaving in breath, warm air billowing from her full lips, coated in a burgundy shade. Her underbite shone fierce in an animalistic sight as a smirk stained her mouth.
her eyes wide and bright with satisfaction. Goosebumps ran up over her in gratification. Patty's internal protest begins to wane as Miss LaRue tremors while the twine dribbles over her knuckles, giving her a sensation of streaking discomfort. But such a thing is but a minor nuisance. Her arm hair bristles in the cold breeze of the overworking freezer fans. She holds her grip as his body goes limp, twitching at times as she strangles his last bit of life. He is firmly held against her and manages to become cheek to cheek with her. She breathes in through her nose for a moment to take him in, her lipstick smearing on his ear and neck. The sweat garnered from the act quickly dries, turning into salt granules. She finally releases his body into a free fall, becoming a crumpled pile of clothing and untied shoelaces. His head bounces off the slick steel flooring with a clump, which makes Miss LaRue tend to him quickly, making sure the impact didn't produce blood. As it was always difficult to clean off the freezer floor, she quickly remembered. She takes a moment or two to catch her breath before pulling the legs of Patty to straighten out his crumpled body, bringing him square in the aisle of the freezer. She folds his arms over his chest, aware that his skin will stick to the metal floor. She briefly holds her hand over Patty's mouth to make sure there was no breath as she stuffs the butcher's twine into her front apron pocket and simply brushes her fingertips across his forehead, clearing his face of his curly, damp locks as she finds he is no longer breathing. Taking off her apron and leaving it in the freezer behind a case of frozen carrots, she washed her hands and walks over to the chalkboard with the needed list, erasing the newly written 90 pounds of ground chuck off with her fingers. She would walk back into the freezer, opening the box of frozen popsicles, clutching a handful and leaving for the bike rack. With the bike rack completely cleared, besides Tommy and Kenny chit-chatting.
Happy Friday, boys. It's pretty hot out. You fellas look like you need a sweet treat, she said, greeting them from several feet away.
Thank you, Miss LaRue, the boys said in unison. Who you waiting for? The school is all cleared out. You should be enjoying your summer already.
We are waiting for Reynolds, Miss LaRue, Tommy said, already biting his way through the plastic to get to the popsicle.
Oh, Patrick Reynolds? His parents picked him up for a trip to White Rage, that old water park in Vacaville. I hear today is the opening day, I think, as soon as school let out, she would confidently say.
Water Rage? Aw, nuts. What the hell, Reynolds?
Okay, thanks for letting us know, Miss LaRue, Kenny said, kicking the air comically.
No problem, boys. You have a good summer, Miss LaRue says with a wink and grin before returning to the cafeteria.
Miss LaRue, Tommy says you have big tits, Kenny yells out, laughing hysterically with his teeth, mouth, and tongue already tinted in blue dye. Miss LaRue would turn around with a large, yellow, sharp-toothed smile and another wink, shouting,
Why, thank you, Tommy boy.
She couldn't help but begin sucking on her bottom lip again.